Let us give our attention once again to God's Word, this time from the New Testament, the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 20, verses 24 through 31, as we continue in our Sunday morning series in the Gospel according to St. John. And our passage begins on the evening of Easter Sunday, and then fast forwards to the following Sunday when the disciples have met again and Jesus returns to meet with them, and one in particular who had not been there on Resurrection Day when Christ met with his disciples, namely Thomas. Jesus returns to meet with his disciples, and especially Thomas, that Thomas might believe and have life in the resurrected Christ. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So far, the reading of God's holy word. To his name be praise and glory. Let's look to him once again in prayer. Ever-living God, as we look into your word this morning, we see that you strengthened your apostle Thomas with firm and certain faith in your son's resurrection. Grant us so perfectly and without doubt to believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God, that our faith may never be found wanting in your sight. Through him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, Lee Strobel was an award-winning journalist and legal editor at the Chicago Tribune. He was also a skeptic, an avowed atheist, one who disbelieved the claims of Christianity when his wife, who had been an agnostic, became a believer in Jesus Christ. Her life began to change. She became more loving, more patient, more forgiving, and she was winsome about her new faith. So Lee decided that he would begin attending church with her and use his training to investigate the claims of Christianity as well as the other major faiths of the world. He investigated the truth of Christianity specifically for 1 year and 9 months. And on the 8th of November 1991, he became convinced of the truth of Christianity. Strobel says, "On that day, I realized that in light of the torrent of evidence flowing in the direction of the truth of Christianity, it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a Christian. Because to be an atheist, I would have to swim upstream against this torrent of evidence pointing toward the truth of Jesus Christ. And I couldn't do that. I was trained in journalism and law to respond to truth. And so on that day, I received Jesus Christ as my forgiver and my leader. And just like with my wife, my life began to change. Over time, my values, my character, the purpose of my life began to be transformed in a way that, as I look back, I can't imagine staying on the path I was on compared to the adventure and fulfillment of the joy of following Jesus Christ. Strobel became a leading apologist for the Christian faith, and his book and movie titled The Case for Christ has led many Christians to grow in their faith and led unbelievers to believe in Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. Oftentimes, the most determined skeptics become the most passionate and fruitful believers. Such was the case with the Apostle Thomas. This morning, I want to consider how Thomas went from skepticism to belief, and what Jesus had to say about all who believe. So, 2 points this morning: Thomas's journey from skepticism to belief, and in the second place, the blessedness of all who believe in Jesus. First, Thomas's personal journey from skepticism to belief. John tells us that Thomas was not with the other disciples when Jesus had come to them on the evening of Easter Sunday to show them himself, to speak peace to them, to breathe on them the blessing of the Holy Spirit, to commission him to be his ambassador, saying to them, "As the Father sent me, so send I you." Thomas arrived after that. He had just missed out on that. Just last night, my family and I, after we had dinner together, and our routine since the quarantine started, essentially, has the three non-negotiables every night of the week essentially have been eating together, evening prayers, and ping pong. We were playing our evening ping pong match. We first play singles and then doubles. And we could hear that behind our house, behind the ponds behind our house, there was another fireworks display. Perhaps there were some leftovers from last week, or maybe they were on sale. But we heard it. Wow, big fireworks. And so we ran to the window, but by the time we got to the window, it had stopped. So we sat there for a few minutes, and then we went back to our ping pong match, and about the time we were engaged in our next ping pong point, there went the fireworks. By the time we got to the window, they were gone again. This went on several times. Until finally we realized, okay, this is the finale. And we went and watched, and it was extraordinary. Well, Thomas had missed, perhaps just missed, the great fireworks display of the risen Christ appearing to the disciples, showing them himself, his resurrected body that had been crucified for them, breathing on them the breath of life and commissioning them to go forth in his power. But Thomas was absent from that. So the other disciples shared the good news of Christ's resurrection with him, as Christ had commissioned them to do. But Thomas was skeptical. He was steadfast. He was emphatic. "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." John tells us that 8 days later, the disciples were gathered together again, most likely in the upper room where they had been the previous week and where they had been on Maundy Thursday when Jesus washed their feet and instituted the Lord's Supper. It was the following Sunday that the disciples were gathered together again. Now, we don't know what Thomas was up to during that intervening week. John doesn't tell us what Jesus was up to during that time. But what we do know is that Thomas came back to the disciples. And I think it's worth noting that it was when he gathered with the disciples that he met with the risen Christ and thus went from unbelief to belief. Lee Strobel recalls when he first began attending church, primarily to appease his wife. He says, "When I walked into church as a skeptical unbeliever, my hypocrisy antenna was scanning the place for signs that people were just playing at church. In fact, I was aggressively on the lookout for phoniness, opportunism, or deception, because I felt that if I could find an excuse for rejecting the church on grounds of hypocrisy, I was free to reject Christianity as well." Of course, just the opposite happened. He found people who genuinely loved each other, who worshiped Christ, who prayed to Christ, and who were trying to follow Christ through lives of faith and repentance. And I think that most often, it is in the context of the worshiping community that people come to faith in Christ. You know, if you want to learn to play tennis, you could read a book about tennis. That would be a good thing to do. But if you really want to investigate tennis, find out if it's the sport for you, then you go where tennis is played. Go join a clinic. Take some lessons. Get in some matches. And there you will find out what tennis is all about. And I promise you will discover the joy of tennis if you do that. Most often it's in the context of the community of faith that people discover the Christ of the faith. When people get to know people who know Jesus, when they experience the worship of the triune God with the gathered church, when they feel the love of the saints in fellowship, it is very often in that context that people are won to the faith. The gathered, believing, praying, loving church is the best place for a skeptic to investigate the claims of Christianity. That was true for Lee Strobel. It was certainly true for me and my experience, and it was true for Thomas as well. When he had gathered with the church, Thomas saw the resurrected Christ. As he had done the week before, Jesus mysteriously entered the locked room and his resurrection body stood among his people and said to them, "Peace be with you." And he met Thomas right where he was and addressed the very thing on Thomas's mind. You know, sometimes when the word of God is preached, after the service, someone will say to the preacher, "It was like you were speaking directly to me. To my questions, my struggles, my challenges." This past Advent, the boys invited some of their tennis buddies to our Lessons in Carol service. And after the service, one of their friends said to Jackson, "Was your dad saying those things just for me?" The Holy Spirit takes the universal truths concerning Christ and applies them specifically, and I would say even uniquely, to the heart and mind of the individual, such as his love and care for you and me. And we have a picture of that here with Thomas, as Jesus speaks directly to his questions, his hang-ups, his unbelief. He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." You know, we often speak of the humility of Christ in terms of incarnation, his suffering, and his death. But the reality is that the resurrected Christ continues to come to us in humble condescension to speak his word to us, to minister to us by his Spirit, and to show himself to us, his sacrifice, his love, in such a way that elicits the response of Thomas, who said, "My Lord and my God." Thomas's words form the basis of all Christian confessions, statements of faith. As Dennis said earlier, we're a confessing church. We confess the great truths of Christianity. But there we have, in the words of Thomas, the foundation, the kernel of all those great statements of faith of the Christian faith, a declaration of the uniqueness of Jesus Christ, who is truly man, who suffered and died, but who was raised again from the dead, proving that he is sovereign Lord and eternal God. And Thomas's words here were words of personal devotion and worship. He said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." That's why we confess our faith together, whether from the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, in the context of worship. To confess Jesus as Lord and God is to worship Jesus as Lord and God. The resurrected Jesus came to Thomas as he comes to us in the gospel, not to browbeat us for our unbelief, but to show us that he was beaten for us, that he suffered for us, that he died for us and was raised again. He comes to us by his Spirit and through his gospel so that we will believe in him. And that takes us to our concluding point this morning, the blessedness of all who believe in Jesus. Jesus said to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed," that is, eternally favored of God, "are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And then John adds, "Jesus did many other signs, the resurrection being the greatest of all the signs, proving that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." Again, the amazing love of God for us, that he would inspire John to record all of this for you and for me. There's a painting of the crucifixion by Lucas Cranach, who was perhaps the greatest of all the Lutheran painters during the Reformation, and he was a good friend of Martin Luther. And at the foot of the cross, are not in this painting, are not only some of the people who were physically there when Christ was crucified, but also people from the 16th century, including Martin Luther, with his Bible open as if he's proclaiming the good news. And in this painting, the blood of Jesus is flowing down from his body onto the head of Cranach. And Cranach is looking out from the painting at you, as if to say, "This blood is for me and it's for you." Even though we weren't physically there, by believing in the gospel, which my buddy Martin Luther is preaching, and which all faithful ministers preach, by believing in that gospel, it's as if we're transported there by faith. And by faith, that blood washes away all of your sins and mine. We are covered in that blood. And we become partakers of that eternal blessedness eternal life with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit by believing in Jesus. As if we had been there when it all took place. Blessedness. Blessed are all who believe. Meditate on that word blessed. Eternally favored of God. If you tune in tonight, we'll be in Numbers 22. And we'll see that the wicked king Balak, the king of the Moabites, wanted to curse Israel. He wanted to defeat Israel. So he sought to employ a prophet for hire named Balaam to curse Israel. But there was a problem. God had blessed Israel, rendering Israel uncursable by Balaam. Friend, by believing in Christ, you become uncursable. You become blessed. There is no more curse for you. Christ endured the curse that you deserve on the cross, that you might receive only the blessing of God and for eternity, which he deserves. You are irrevocably blessed in Christ. Augustus Toplady has that wonderful hymn in which he says, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says, the saints in heaven, they might be happier than we are down here. Experientially, they are consistently happy in God and in the fellowship of his presence. Our happiness ebbs and flows in this fallen world. So they may be more consistently happy than we are, but they're not more secure. Friends, the devil does not want you to hear that good news, but listen to it afresh. You are just as secure, objectively speaking, in the blessing, the favor, the adoption, the love of God as the saints in glory are right this very moment. Because you're in Christ, you are uncursable. You are eternally blessed. Blessed are all those who believe in Jesus. So, dear believer, be encouraged. There is no more curse for you. Christ has taken that away. All that remains for you is the irrevocable blessing of the Father's love. It's irrevocable. The Father's adopting love, the Son's grace, and the Spirit's fellowship. Rejoice in that today. And if you are still not a believer, listen again to the kind, gracious words of Jesus and his beloved disciple. Do not disbelieve, but believe. That by believing, you may have life in his name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.